The genius of the free market is not always perfect. Two of our neighbors, Connecticut and Massachusetts, have raised their minimum wage above the federal standard to address higher costs of living. And so while we would prefer the federal government to act to keep us competitive, this year our administration will join with Speaker Shelley Silver in pushing for a responsible raise in the minimum wage.
So we talked about Mayor Bloomberg's proposal for teacher raises. The mayor also had other worker salaries on his mind, proposing an increase in the minimum wage, as you heard there, for New York State, and a wage higher than the minimum for employees of contractors doing business with the city. This is the so-called living wage that he opposed before. This would at least apply to one development in the Bronx. So let's talk about this with WNYC business reporter Ilya Meretz and WNYC political reporter Bob Henley. Hi, guys.
Hello.
The living wage dispute sunk the mayor's old plan to develop the Kingsbridge Armory in the Bronx as a shopping center and entertainment complex. So here's how he signaled he was giving in on that.
In collaboration with Ruben today, we're releasing an RFP, a request for proposals for a new operator of the Armory. We're putting aside our differences to do what's best for the city, and that's what leadership is all about. It's not about a series of running arguments. It's about getting things done.
Ruben refers to Ruben Diaz, the Bronx Borough president, but there were no numbers in that section of the speech. So, Ilya, what exactly is he proposing people be paid for working on the Kingsbridge Armory?
I don't think he's proposing anything, actually. I think what he's proposing to do is to disentangle the issue of living wage and the issue of what to do with this beautiful, old, vacant building in New York City. If you recall, 2 or 3 years ago when this debate was really hot, Ruben Diaz Jr., the borough president, wanted a guarantee of a living wage for any business that might come in and open a store there or develop the site.
And the mayor wanted it disentangled at that time. So am I just hearing this wrong? I thought the mayor was backing down.
That's not my read on it so far. I think what the mayor did is he succeeded in disentangling the two. Part of the reason why is there is now a living wage bill in the council that looks likely possibly to have the support of the city council speaker, Christine Quinn. She's been hedging on this for a long time. That's a much broader bill that would apply to a lot of city projects. And so that sort of removes the onus a little bit specifically from the Kingsbridge project.
But I thought the mayor opposed that living. And again, the living wage means, in this case, something higher than the minimum wage that would apply to the employees of all contractors doing business with the city. Correct,
Bob? Let's bring it back to the characters involved. It takes two to tango. And so we have Ruben Diaz Jr., the very telegenic rising star, as Bronx Borough President, who used the living wage bill back when Related was flexing its muscle to get this project going.
The development company,
right,
Related.
Right. And so basically that kind of helped galvanize, because of, Diaz's really good organizing and the moment, it kind of stopped dead the mayor's proposal. So what was interesting about this is that Mayor Bloomberg seems to be, although it's fairly long into his tenure, to learn how to collaborate. So behind the scenes, what was different? Michael Bloomberg learning a new thing, was working with Ruben Diaz Jr. ahead of the State of the State to come up with a face-saving compromise. Diaz has done a lot of background work. He's had different panels, academic panels, come together to try to visualize it. So they both agreed to let it not be the thing that divided them. Diaz was asked about this. I asked him about it, and he said, listen, the city council is going to take this up citywide. I think there was a recognition practically that you couldn't make that living wage requirement, $10 an hour or $11 and change if, you have benefits involved, on top of this single project that would scare off the capital that would be attracted.
So is the mayor promising to sign the living wage
passes
the council?
No, no.
Hasn't he threatened to veto it in the past?
He is generally – I mean, what we saw there is he backs Speaker Silver's desire to move the minimum wage up past $8. So that in some ways was tipping his hat to the realization that he's got a problem. The United States has a problem. You have people – more and more people living in poverty. This is really the part of his legacy he's been part of.
Living in poverty while they're working
full-time.
Exactly.
And so you had this whole near poverty and group of people is slipping into actual poverty by federal standards. And so it's now resonated even where our billionaire in chief gets it. But he's not coming across the living wage bill. This action there is really with whatever Speaker Quinn's doing. She's the person who's got the hot potato in her lap right now, because they've got dozens of sponsors from the city council who are really in touch with the level of struggle I'm talking about. It's not right. Like, let's get a program 6 months down the line. They know their constituents are hurting now. She is trying to figure out how to bring together a compromise on this bill. That's where the action is.
So, Ilya, I still don't completely understand. The mayor is supporting an increase in the minimum wage statewide, but that wouldn't be as much as what they consider the living wage.
That's right. It's well short of the living wage. The minimum wage right now in the state is $7.25 an hour. They're talking about raising it to somewhere in the $8 an hour range. Connecticut and Massachusetts are both close to $8. I think they're a little bit more. That's all $2 shy of $10 an hour plus benefits. It's really more like $3 or $4 shy of that probably. One of the most interesting stats that I came across in the last few months was James Otto, the Staten Island City Councilman, responding to Occupy Wall Street, asked the IBO, the Independent Budget Office, to do an analysis of New York, who's in the 1% in New York. He found out it was, I think, like close to $500,000 put you in the 1% in New York. But did you know that the median tax filer in New York City, this could be individuals or families, reports $28,000 in income? We have a lot of working poor people here. And the mayor, I think, really wanted to show some understanding for them.
I mean, one of the things that's happened here, we've had like a decade of Michael Bloomberg. It's clear when you look at things like not having smoking in the parks and in bars and the trees that he's planted and some of the downzoning, rezoning. He has made the city with all the waterfront parks more livable, but it has become less affordable. And that's something that I think he's realizing. Just last year, he had this initiative where he finally realized, it just came, that African-American and Latino young men are on a track not to succeed because of certain things that, endemic racism and the role of the criminal justice system that is not productive. So he is getting it. The question is he going to be able to do it enough, get enough points on the board in this code in this last 2 years to make a difference?
So is Ruben Diaz on board with this compromise? Raise the minimum wage to $8 and then not block the Kingsbridge Armory development this time because it's not $10?
Well, no, he is basically realizing that he has to get something going there. And so he doesn't have a role in whether or not the mayor is going to go with the minimum wage bill or not. He still hopes to be in the vanguard for the living wage citywide. But what he is doing is trying to build a coalition to get something actually done. I mean, this Kingsbridge Armory has gone back for decades. The people of that community, I just went out there. There was a woman from the community who wanted to come in, and she wasn't permitted to get in because she wasn't, part of the hoi polloi. But she said, you know how long we've been trying to get something worthwhile there? They wanted schools there back in the 1990s. And the bureaucracy has just resisted any authentic response from the community. Now there seems to be an opening for a collective visualization to come forward.
And, one key difference this year is last time around, they had this developer. It was the Related Company. It was going to be, a little shopping mall in the Bronx with tenants. This time, it's a much more open RFP. The city might sell the building. It could end up with a totally different use from low-paid retail workers. We don't know.
RFP, request for proposals. So a lot of businesses could bid and say, we want to do this with it.
We want to lease it or we want to buy it.
Yeah. Another business idea that the mayor mentioned was the Hunts Point produce market, which he acknowledged that New Jersey is trying to woo. What's the story, Ilya, with Hunts Point? And remind people what it actually does.
Hunts Point is the largest distributor of fruit and vegetables. It's the largest bottleneck It's the largest toll booth, let's say, for fruit and vegetables in the United States. That's if you go to any restaurant in New York City, chances are the broccoli on your plate came through there. It's in the Bronx. It's near the Cross Bronx Expressway, near all the highways. New Jersey's been wooing it for a long time with generous tax incentives. And apparently New York City is going to up the ante, kick in an extra $25 million to sweeten the deal to stay here. But the deal is not yet sealed.
So we have Dylan Radigan standing by from MSNBC. We're going to talk finance and politics with him and media. But just on this, Bob, how sad that New York and New Jersey which could be cooperating on regional development, would be forced to compete with each other by offering to let a profitable business like the businesses at Hunts Point not pay their fair share of taxes to the public.
Well, this sounds like a metaphor for the global finance where nation states can't cooperate and corporations and multinationals take advantage by using offshore tax havens. Oh, that's the next segment. I guess what I'm getting at here, Brian, is
it's
that
– it's a race to the bottom.
Yes, and you have like Chris Quinn, okay? Yesterday, Speaker Quinn saying her big soundbite they wanted us to play, Chris Christie, keep your hands off Hunts Point. You're exactly right. There needs to be a kind of – peace treaty between the two states to look at the big picture issues that have to do with their need to invest in their infrastructure at a time where Washington, Brian, is stepping away. They're leaving the scene of the crime.
You know, the mayor said the word jobs 36 times in yesterday's speech. He said more with less once. He said tax twice. He said budget only six times. He's all about jobs, and he wanted people to know that yesterday.
The state of the city is complicated.
Exactly.
WNYC political reporter Bob Henley, business reporter Ilya Marritz, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Dylan Radigan next.